Third hour DDC here on this Thursday afternoon. Beautiful day here in Music City. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason with you, voice of the Grizzlies. Eric Hasseltine now with us. Gosh, he's been the voice for damn near two decades. Eric, how long has it been? What, 17, 18 years?
Do you count pre, half, and post game or no?
Count whatever you want, man.
It's always the question. Now, I've been there 21. This is my 21st season. But in the big chair, I took over in 2005 in January and did half of that season. So, yeah, it's you blink an eye and your kids are graduating high school, going to college, and one's turning 10 and is almost as tall as you are. Thankfully, he didn't get that that height gene from me. He got it from the other sides of my family and his mother's family, and then. You know, you got a gray beard, and the dancers look like their children. So that's the fun
thing. You just described.
How's the dance team? I'm like, they're kids. What do you mean, how are they? They're children.
You just described everything so well. So
I try.
You know, Eric, we've had a lot of discussions over the years about Grizzlies teams that were good. Grizzlies teams that made long runs in the playoffs. You know, we've had a lot of those conversations. Is this the best team they've ever had? What do you think?
Hands down.
Mm.
It's not even close. Mm. It's not even close. And it's not to disparage what the group that we called the Core Four with Mike Conley and Tony Allen and Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph did and the 7 year success.
It's better than that 13 year?
Yeah, they went seven straight. So we kind of look on that side. That's a remarkable run. There was a lot of people that tried to downplay that, but that is not something to downplay in this league. Obviously, just take a look in L.A. this year. Making the playoffs is not easy, especially in the Western Conference, and it's been that way for, you know, almost my entire time here. And even before that, when I was in Sacramento and the Kings were bursting on the scene back then with Chris Webber and those guys, and the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq, and they were just great teams. There seems to always be just a gauntlet in the West to run through to get to the postseason. But the reason I say this group, because when you go 1 through 15, there's one team that could have rivaled this, I think, and that would have been the 2012-2013 year where they went to the might have been 13-14 year where they went to the Western Conference Finals. That team was really good because when you watch the replays of those teams, their bench was able to come in and sustain leads. But if I start matching up player for player, this team, it would – I think would win hands down. When you look at backup point guard, the best backup point guard we've ever had with this organization is Tyus Jones. I mean, an example of that is in his last 13 games, I think he had, or 12 games, he has 91 assists to 7 turnovers. It's 13-1. 13-1 turnover to assist ratio for a guy who started those games. That's insane. And he's going to break his own NBA record for that, which is a record nobody talks about. But it's a big deal for a point guard to be able to distribute the basketball and not give it to the other team. Then you start looking down the road, De'Anthony Melton, Brandon Clark in our second unit that just come in and give you 10, 12, 15 nightly. The bench scoring is just remarkable. And when you talk about the starters, as good as Mike Conley was, Ja Morant's a superstar. And as good as Marc Gasol was, Jaren Jackson rivals a lot of that. You know, and with Steven Adams in there to basically be that high pick-and-roll guy that just rebounds and defends, and then you have a guy like Dylan Brooks who's a tenacious perimeter defender the way Tony Allen was, but is a much better scorer, you're looking around going, okay, you can go through this and say, all right, where's the difference? And then the difference becomes Desmond Bane. They haven't had a shooter like Desmond Bane on this roster since Mike Miller, and even then, Desmond Bane is just remarkable what he can do when he's on the perimeter. And he's not just a perimeter player. He drives to the basket. So for me, it's hands down that. I mean, the coaches to me are very comparable, but this is a very, very special team, and it's one that I think is just starting to scratch the surface of what they're capable of doing. You look in Phoenix and you look what they did last year and how they made their run and kind of broke through, and it helps to have a guy like Chris Paul. But you look at this group, they're the second or third youngest team in the league, and the owner has already come out and said, I'm keeping as many guys in this group as possible as I can. His finances have really blossomed over the last decade, and he's not afraid to spend the money to keep a winning product there. So I think we're in for a treat in the entire Mid-South with this group, you know, possibly the core of it being together for 7, 8, 9, 10 years and really being thought of as championship contenders a lot of those seasons as long as everybody stays healthy and stays on the same path.
When Acuna went down, season ending, and I know this is not apples to apples comparison. I was like, well, that'll do it for the Braves. Right. Yeah, that'll do it. And they won the World Series. So much for that theory that I had. Ja Morant has been out for the lineup, and you just think, without Ja Morant, the Grizzlies are good, they're deep, everything you just described, there's no way they're going to look the same or better. How have they looked like they have without Ja Morant for this long?
As Steven Adams said, it's the system. You know, and the notion that they're better without Ja Morant is just silly.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, what was their – I mean, what's their record since he's been out of the lineup?
I think after last game, it's 20-3 now.
Right, 20-3, and they lost in overtime.
Yeah, I wouldn't moniker you with the people that I call pinheads that get on social media and just start typing away, oh, the Grizzlies are better without Ja Morant and blah, blah, blah. And that's why he's not an MVP. Those people are idiots and just don't have any clue. What it is a deep roster, as we talked about, and a system that really is hard to stop. I've watched this team night in, night out, literally break team spirits. I mean, Derek, I'm sure you've seen it. Darren, you've seen it. Willie, you guys have seen it. When you watch a team try to come back, let's say the Grizzlies have an 8-point lead and they fight and they scratch, and the next 3 minutes, all of a sudden they're within two, and 2 minutes later they look up and they're down 12, and they're literally looking around going, what the hell just happened? What happens is this team is relentless on both ends of the floor. If you score on them, they're going to take it out of the net and they're going to run it right back at you. If you throw lazy passes on the perimeter, they're going to take them. They're number one in the NBA in steals. They're number one in fast break points. They're number one in points in the paint. They're number one in block shots. Their three-point shooting, when it's on, they're just virtually unstoppable. And they lead the NBA in fast break points, and the NBA, per that stat, does not count if they take it out of the net on a make. That's not a fast break basket because the other team scored. Yet they get four or five of those baskets a night. And you just watch, and you watch these other teams turn around, and you know they feel good that they just made a basket. They're making a run. They turn around, and their guy's running right by them and burying a three-point shot. And they're just going, what just happened? And that happens pretty regularly with this group. Steven Adams, in a media conference, somebody asked him a similar thing. He said, it's the system. It's the coaching. It's the belief that the next man up can fill the void. It's the development. Like, the difference between their first-round pick this year, which they acquired on in the Steven Adams trade, Zaire Williams, where he was in November and where he is now is night and day. The player development with this group of coaches is remarkable. They deserve a ton of credit. It's why, to me, I laugh when I watch ESPN last night, and you know, I don't doubt that Monty Williams should be touted as coach of the year. He absolutely should be. I don't doubt that Tyronn Lue with the Clippers, with the job he's done, with the injuries they've had, should be touted. But it should be a hands down one horse race, and that's Taylor Jenkins. Nobody had the Grizzlies winning more than 38 games. They've won 55. They're the second best record in the league. They've won 20 games out of 23 without their star player. And everybody expected Phoenix and the Clippers to be good, and they are. But no one expected the Grizzlies to be this. And a lot of it has to do with this system, these coaches, and the message they've gotten across. When your players in interviews sound like the coaching staff, the message has been accepted and received, and it's clear.
We'll talk with Eric Hasseltine, voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. They find themselves, I think, second or third in the Western Conference as we speak right now. Second in the Western Conference as we speak right now. You just mentioned their ages, and I looked this up. It had to be a couple of weeks ago. Not only do they have the youngest squad, but they have the youngest head coach and the youngest GM. Everyone's in their 30s. Do you think the byproduct of that is winning? Because everyone relates to one another.
I think it's part of it. I noticed it with Coach Jenkins when he took over and came out. And usually first-time head coaches that have been assistants will coach that first summer league. Now, obviously after the pandemic, there wasn't a summer league in 2020, and then there was a tighter summer league in 2021. But that 2019 summer league, I was there, and I was watching the way he related to the players and, again, listening to their answers. And I'm like, okay, this guy may be on to something. And I tell this story, and I'll tell it briefly because radio guys, as you know, can go forever. We were in Las Vegas and had a sponsored dinner, and they wanted to introduce the coach to some of the main, sponsors of the team and businesses. And he came over to me and he says, "Hey, I know you've been here since day one. Can we sit down and talk once I kind of make the rounds?" I said, "Of course, I'm right here." And he literally looked at me and said, "What do I need to know? What do I need to know about Memphis? What's going to help me, you know, relate to not just the players but everybody else? And I went, whoa, that's not something that you normally see. And I said, Coach, I'm happy to tell you. I said, you know, X, Y, Z. I said, the main thing is, and John Calipari said, if you hug Memphis as a city, it'll hug you back. You know, so embrace it. And he understood. And so you look at him 3 years later, and I laugh because, as you said, he's the youngest coach in the league. We have the same birthday, actually. And I remember this year they said, hey, happy 37th birthday to Grizzlies head coach Taylor Jenkins. And I shook my head, and someone said, what? And I said, I know it. I knew it now. I'm old. They said, why? I said, I'm 12 years older than my head coach. I used to be like 30 years younger than these guys. It's just a different feeling. But you don't look at him that way. He doesn't come across as a 37-year-old young head coach. He talks like he's been through battles and through everything, and he's just that intelligent. Zach Kleiman's the same way. And I think what they understand is that none of them in the front office or in the coaching staff have all of the answers. And I think that comes from being in the Greg Popovich system. People might think that Greg Popovich from far is just this dictator and it's my way and there's no other way we're going to do it. Greg Popovich wants to be challenged in his coaches' meetings. He wants to be challenged with his roster. He wants people to sit back and say, maybe if we tried this, and throw many ideas onto the table, not just be a yes man, sure, coach, whatever you want. That doesn't work. And so he's got guys around him on the coaching staff, does Taylor Jenkins, that come from all walks and are all ages. And you know, they just are incredibly unified there. And then in the front office, Zach Kleiman was smart enough to know he doesn't know everything. Mm-hmm. He was smart enough to understand that different perspectives lead you to completing an entire picture. So he brings in Tayshaun Prince, who obviously had a remarkable playing career and can understand what it's like to be a player. And he brings in a Rich Cho, who was a general manager in Charlotte, but relies heavily on analytics. And then a Glenn Grunwald, who's been with multiple teams and kind of uses both. And they balance the analytical side with the system that Taylor Jenkins wants to run with the eye test of talent. Can this guy play in our system and be successful? And that's a big deal.
It's going to be a lot of fun to see how this actually plays out. We actually had you on, and we did this, I don't know, Derek, probably 3 weeks ago, maybe a month. And it was when things were – you could just tell this team was a little bit different. And, Eric, we spent a whole hour. And I just posed it like this. I said, you know, no disrespect. I just want to know. I mean, you know, you've done radio. You've done radio for a long time. You understand this. I was like, does anybody care here in this market about the Grizzlies? Does anybody care? If you don't care, we're not going to talk about them. But right. If you do, you know, then we will. And we spent an hour on them. We got that much response. It was actually overwhelming.
The John Moran effect.
Yeah.
That's the John Moran effect. He's fun to watch. And that was the difference with this group and the last group. Again, no disrespect, but why I think hands down they're the best, not only because I think they're top to bottom have a little bit more talent, but their style translates to winning better in today's NBA. Look, winning games matters, but to win games 87 to, you know, 85 or 83, people are going like, yeah, I'd like to see the basketball move. I'd like to see it, you know, shot more. I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, action, so to speak. And that's part of it. So they're fun to watch. It's remarkable when we go on the road, the number of people waiting outside the team hotel, the number of people inside the arena early wearing Grizzlies jerseys. And we're just like, okay, the best story I can give you is we had a short walk in Charlotte from our hotel to the arena. And we're just walking on the street. We don't take the bus. We're staying over after the game, whatever it may be. And it's myself, Brevin Knight and Rob Fisher, who are both on the TV crew. And four different times we got stopped. Hey, you guys are the Grizzlies announcers. And we went, what world are we living in right now? This is bananas. Like, how the hell do you know who we are? And, like, didn't just know us, knew our names. And I was like, whoa, people are paying attention. And so, yeah, it matters. And I totally understand what you mean. And it don't take disrespect, because when you host a radio show, you can't talk about things nobody wants to hear, or they'll turn the station. I love baseball. When I hosted a radio show for 8 years in Memphis, I didn't talk baseball because nobody else wanted to talk about it but me. I love talking baseball.
Yeah.
If I go to St. Louis and talk baseball, I'll talk for two hours. But
no doubt.
It was just what the market wanted. And so I don't take disrespect for that at all. I take that as a compliment that this team has now been built to where people care and where people will jump in the car and make a trip and will spend a weekend in Memphis to come watch the Grizzlies play, because they're going to be not only that good as a team, but that big of a show.
Eric, we've enjoyed it as always. I'm sure we'll be talking soon. Thanks for doing this.
Anytime, guys. Great to hear from you again, and I hope everybody's doing well. And it's been a wild 2 years, and hopefully we're on the flip side of that and get to enjoy a nice little playoff run.
Amen to that. Eric Hasseltine, voice of the Grizzlies, you just heard, has been doing it a long time. And this team is different, and we'll discuss that on the other side here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking for a place to hang to watch the Predators in Ottawa tonight take on the Senators? How about Headquarters Beercade? They'll have drink specials. Plus a chance for you to win tickets to an upcoming home game. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Puck drops tonight at 6 o'clock. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call from Ottawa tonight, starting at 6. I'll have your pregame at 5. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here, Hillside Medical Game Studios. Good stuff from Eric Hasseltine, as always. And I will say this. So we did that one day on the show. Like, do you care? It was in the last hour. We spent the whole hour because we got so many people calling in or texting. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just, it wasn't a slight at Memphis. It was, but, you know, there have been, like, I've been in this market a long time. There have been a lot of tension between the two markets, okay? And a lot's changed over the years. But it was a legit question because we're in the business of talking about what you want to hear, what you want to, you know, what you want to talk about. And if nobody cares, we're not going to talk about it. But It did feel like things were different with this Grizzlies team. I know people that have gone to games this year that I've never had that conversation with them before. But they made a point to go to a Grizzlies game and tell everybody about it. Like, hey, we went. In fact, I know I've got a lot of those stories this year.
I had a few friends that have went to Grizzly games, and they had a great time. They had a great time. Grizzly won. They had a great time at the arena. So,
well, it's a fantastic arena. I haven't been there in many, many years, but I used to go to Grizzlies games and had a great time. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great arena, but great location right there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if nobody cares about this Grizzlies team that's really good, we're not going to talk about it. Well, we spent the whole hour, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we got flooded with calls and we got flooded with text messages saying, yeah, we care. Like, this Ja Morant guy is a. Now, we'll see. Now the playoffs are about to get cranked up. I mean, I think Phoenix and Memphis are on a collision course for the Western Conference Finals. But, you know, Golden State's good, and there's other teams that are good. It's not going to be Utah and Denver. I mean, it's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be a cakewalk.
No, but that's beside the point. Point is, okay, they're about ready to go into the playoffs, and does this market care? And all they've done since we've had that conversation is just win. Even more and more and more. So if we were flooded with that for an hour that day and everybody's saying, yeah, there were, you know, it wasn't everybody. I mean, there were people that said, yeah, no, could care less. But overwhelmingly it was, yeah, we care. We do. But there were some people like, nah, or they just weren't fans of the NBA, and that's fine. I mean, I get that. But I don't know how it's lessened. Because you just heard it. They just lost in overtime to Utah, Elijah, because they're in Denver tonight, right? It was Utah. They lost in overtime, which, by the way, that's not an easy place to win. And they are 20-3 without Ja Morant. Just think about that. Just after coming off an overtime loss. 20-3 in their last 23 games without Ja Morant. Now, what's his status? Is he going to be available for the playoffs?
He should be. I think he's. Like, it's going to time out to probably by the time the playoffs start is when he returns. I don't think he'll play the rest of the regular season.
They only got, what, three games left?
Handful of games
two,
left.
It's just they're at the very end of the regular season. So I do wonder, because we get the TV ratings from Mark Benda, News Channel 5. Like, I wonder if Grizzlies games will start showing up, playoff games. How much will people care in this market? Because typically the NHL starts their playoffs before the NBA, but because of how they had to do this year's schedule with what they thought was going to be the 3-week break, you know, that whole thing, they didn't go to the Olympics, so they're obviously going to the end of the month, and so they'll be later. It'll be a later start. So I wonder, Predators regular season winding down, the NBA playoffs starting. Okay, you told us you cared. We just talked about them. Now let's find out.
We'll see if you really care.
Yeah, we'll see if you really care in the playoffs.
Because they would be one of the odds-on favorite to make it to the finals.
Yeah. And he just said, I asked Eric Castletine, where does this team stack up to others? He said, his exact words, hands down the best team they've ever had.
And that's saying a lot because that 13 team.
Well, they went to the Western Conference
Final. Even though they lost to the Spurs, I think the Spurs swept them that year. Even though they lost to the Spurs, that was a really good team. Spurs ultimately ended up winning the NBA championship, didn't they, that year?
I believe so.
Saying that's the year they went to the Western Conference Finals?
They beat Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals, and I think they went on to win the
They lost to the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, I thought.
Who did?
I go check that. The Grizzlies did.
Well, one year they lost to I thought they lost to the Spurs.
They only went to the conference final once.
I thought they lost to the Spurs. I could be wrong on that one.
But we're about to find out.
Mm-hmm.
What people in this market, if they really do care. But like I said, I suspect nothing's changed. I mean, all they've done is win since we had that conversation. Sonny on our text line wanted to make it clear with our Waterboy discussion that Waterboy is now called the Director of Hydration.
So you're a DH now.
The Director of Hydration. That did give us a really good laugh.
And Chase is out of the game now because – as Elijah said during the break, he was considered a water boy then. He has now become a man. So water boy and water man, those are two different. the responsibilities are different now.
The evolution.
Yeah. And your responsibilities are a lot different than what they were in high school. So, again, you can take advice from Chase. But he may be – he's out of the game too long, man.
You just said it. He's washed up.
Yeah, he's washed up, man. He's – you know, his Gatorade bottle and his wristbands are at the Hall of Fame, man.
They're hanging up.
Yeah.
Weston Clarksville says, I'm going to a Grizzlies game on Saturday. Go Grizzlies. There you go. On our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com.
It was 13. It was the Spurs.
It was the Spurs. Yep.
That sounded right. Andrew in the borough says Grizzlies need to move to Nashville with the new Titan Stadium, a basketball arena, like campus, maybe even baseball stadium as well. Well, holy crap, Mike, where's all this money going to come from?
I would love it.
Land and money, or Andrew, excuse me. Andrew, where's all this money and land going to come from?
If you're asking me, I would vote 100 times.
Would
for
you?
It.
100 times.
Yep. For a basketball team? Absolutely.
Well, he said basketball and baseball. All on the same place, the land plot that the Titans are on right now.
Well, I just vote for basketball.
Okay.
I let everybody else vote for that stuff.
All right. Yeah. Just saying. All right. We're going to get back into, would you be in favor of Baker Mayfield? Is this a good move, bad move? We believe John Robinson should absolutely be thinking about this. When the Browns have to cut bait, is Baker Mayfield on their radar? We'll discuss. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Laura. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, Willie Donick is now in the mix from Ottawa.
Yo, yo. Greetings from north of the border, peeps.
What's up, Billy?
Billy's
in the house.
Billy D.
On our text line, by the way, Phil says nobody is beating this team four times, talking about the Grizzlies.
It's going to be tough, I tell you that.
Adams on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Love the Grizzlies talk, but really want more attention to the University of Memphis football and basketball. Do not expect as much attention as UT or Vanderbilt, but love going to a few games in Memphis. That's from Adams. A lot of talk. We had Eric Castletine on, Willie, to start the hour. A lot of people were
Grizz
all in.
Fever, man.
It's about to start. Playoff time.
Time to get the mindset. It's time to get the mindset. They got a chance.
They got more than a chance.
They got a chance to. I'm talking about win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what people are saying on our text line. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to beat this team four times. We'll see.
It's tough. They're tough.
Eric Castletine said this team is the best team, hands down, that they've ever had in Memphis. So, hands down. And he's been there the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, he would know. All right. Now, to our question. And Willie doesn't know.
Yeah.
What we've been talking about. Nate on our text line says, my only holdup is that he just doesn't know if Baker Mayfield would accept a backup roll. Now, for people who just tuned in, people who just joined us, like Willie.
No, I've been briefed.
Okay.
I've been briefed.
Okay, you've been briefed.
My answer is ready, but debrief everybody
okay.
else. But just know that I'm in the know.
We think the league is side-staring the Browns because of the Deshaun Watson deal, that they're furious over the Deshaun Watson deal, and they're like, we're not helping you. We're not giving you anything. You're stuck. Now you're going to have to release him. You're going to have to eat a lot of dead money, and you're stuck, and we're not giving you squat because they're mad about the Deshaun Watson deal. And I think some franchises are even more mad than others. Some may be telling them you're number one with a certain finger. I mean, that's the vibe I get. So they're putting Cleveland in a corner and in a box and saying, yeah, you want to get rid of him? Just release him. But we're not giving you a squat. If that happens, because neither one of us believes, and you can weigh in on this portion of it too, neither one of us believe that they are going into the season with both of them, Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield, on the roster. If indeed, at some point, before the draft, after the draft, the Browns say, all right, we're cutting Baker Mayfield, done. The experiment in Cleveland is over, that we believe the Titans and John Robinson should absolutely be gung-ho to go get Baker Mayfield and bring him in as the backup. Your thoughts?
Well, let's assume that it's at a very economical price, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that nobody offers him an attractive salary as a backup. I would think that if he hits the market as a backup, teams are going to scrape together. There's going to be some competition for him as a backup. If he's out there and he says, I'm available, I'm ready to restart my career, and I'm willing to take a lot less money because he's going to get a lot of money from the Browns, right? That is the thing that, you know, a team would probably sell to him. Look, Baker, you're getting paid by the Browns, so we need to get you at a low price to get you under the cap. So let's assume all that can happen for the Titans, which is still a question mark to me because they don't have a lot of extra money floating around under the cap. You know, they got a lot of things they want to do, but clearly he's an upgrade on Logan Woodside. We all know that. Here's the dynamic I'd be concerned with. And Derek, I'm going to go back to a conversation that you and I had way back in the tent. Let's just take you down memory lane. It was Jake Locker and Matt Hasselbeck at the time as the two coaches. Derek was doing the show with us in a tent with the now Hall of Famer George Plaster, me, Brad Hopkins. And this was the discussion. Hey, this was Derek, if I remember correctly. They need to move on from Matt Hasselbeck next year if they want Jake Locker to be the starter, because you don't want Jake Locker looking over his shoulder and having all the fans saying, well, we need to put Hasselbeck back in there. You don't want a backup that is a threat to him. Would you say, Derek, that would be the same dynamic?
Derek is not, no longer in that camp. That was a long time ago.
I think the dynamic is different now. If Ryan was a young quarterback still feeling his way through, then...
Okay, like Locker was.
Yeah, like Locker was. Then it's like, okay, give him a legitimate shot. And if it doesn't work, then you move on. With Ryan, is different. You know what he's about. And, you know, do they feel that he can get them and win a Super Bowl? I don't know. All I know is that, just like with Mariota, in the public, they're saying, he's our guy. We love him. He's our quarterback. We're just going to put players around him, and that's it. But then what happened to Mariota? Ultimately, he got benched in favor of Ryan Tannehill. So I think the dynamics is a little bit different, Willie, but I understand what you're saying.
Because right now, and we talked about this the other day, nobody is going to call our show, who is a sane person, and say, you know what, guys, I've seen enough of Tannehill. We need to give Logan Woodside a shot. That is not going to happen as long as Logan Woodside is the quarterback backing up Ryan Tannehill. The minute you bring in Baker Mayfield, all of the people that have had this notion of, hey, I don't think I believe in Tannehill anymore. I don't know about Tannehill. That is going to become a lot of noise. Now, who can block out the noise? Mike Vrabel knows how to block out the noise, but it is something he would have to deal with a lot, right? The minute Ryan Tannehill makes a mistake, it's the oldest thing in talk radio and pro football. The most popular guy is the backup quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a guy who's got some credentials like Baker Mayfield does.
And, Derek, what's my counter to that? Because I've already laid that out. What's my counter to that? It's going to happen.
Yeah, regardless. It's going to happen regardless.
Doesn't matter if you've got Logan Woodside, Logan Whiteside, Logan Blindside.
That's the two next-door neighbors.
That's the neighbors. They're all on the same street. Or Baker Mayfield. You're not escaping that. Like, that horse has already left the barn. Let me tell you, the first pick, whether it's his fault or not, there's going to be groans. There's going to be people going, here we go again. Here we go. You are not escaping that because the narrative has changed. Feelings have changed. How people view you has changed. And whether you got Baker Mayfield, Logan Woodside, Logan Whiteside, it doesn't matter, or no backup. You are not escaping that.
What about Charlie Whitehurst?
Charlie Whitehurst, you're not going to escape that. Clipboard Jesus, you're not going to get away from that.
Hurst. It doesn't matter who you have.
Billy Volek. It's not changing. Like that, people have already made up their mind.
Okay.
The minute he struggles, still, it's like, great.
It's another level, though, when you have a guy and people. Because let's think back. There was not a huge loud thing about they should try Tannehill. I don't remember it being really. It sort of happened quick, right? It went from, hey, Marcus is struggling a little bit to, boom, he's out. And Tannehill's in.
I can remember when that trade happened. When that trade happened, and I think I was doing a show with you guys or in the morning show. I think I might have been doing it with.
Well, no. I can tell you right where we were at the SEC basketball tournament.
I said Ryan's going to be the starting quarterback. He's going to end up being the starting quarterback.
Happened during
they're
our
bringing
show.
Him in to be a starter. I know what they're saying. And they're saying everything right because they don't want Mario to get too upset, too worried. But behind closed doors between head coach Jim and whoever else, they're bringing Ryan in to ultimately be the starter. That's what it was.
We were at
and it
the
played
SEC
out
basketball
like that.
Tournament at Bridgestone Arena, and it happened.
I remember it well.
During our
show.
I
was on a bus with the Predators somewhere, some far-off city. I don't know, but I remember on my phone – riding along and seeing this and trying to take it all in.
Here's I was doing cartwheels, and I could do them then.
Yes,
that day I could do cartwheels.
I wasn't there with you, but I could visualize you doing the cartwheels, Darren. You're very acrobatic in that respect. But here's the difference.
He can say that in
they
Ottawa.
They knew at that point that Marcus Mariota was, I just don't know if he's going to get there. If he gets there, great, fine, but we need to push him. We need commit. We're not committed to him after this year.
They weren't saying that publicly.
No, they weren't. But
absolutely.
I think you had a good feel for when they weren't talking contract renegotiation or let's re-up this guy. I think they were basically, we're going to let this thing ride, and we need to have a plan B. This is interesting. I'm not saying I don't want this at all. Like it also depends on what does John Robinson think, and for that matter, Mike Vrabel. What do they think of the upside of Baker Mayfield? He's still very young. Do they think he could be a guy who, with a new address and a new leash on life, pressure off, could be a lot better and a guy that provides a big ceiling someday?
Well,
if you could get him cheap. That's how I view it. If you get him cheap and everybody's got the right attitude, it could be a good thing.
We'll continue on the other side to wrap up the third hour. Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to tell you why the noise doesn't matter when we come back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now they got half-off deals. Woodhouse Spa, the mainstay restaurant, Brooklyn Bowl, plus experience a 60-minute float session from the Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out Nashville's best deals at thegamenashville.com/deals. Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock here on this Thursday. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you. Talking about Baker Mayfield. When, it's not if, when he's shown the door in Cleveland, should indeed the Titans be interested in his services as a backup here? Now, we've talked about the noise. And the reason you can't worry about the noise is because the noise is going to happen no matter what. Like that, like I said, it's going to happen unless he plays flawlessly. Mm-hmm. If he is perfect in 2022, he goes for 34 touchdowns and zero picks for 4,100 yards. And I don't believe that's ever happened. I don't think. I don't think a quarterback's ever had a perfect season.
Would you accept 33 touchdowns and 8 interceptions?
Well, I said this earlier, that the push, which is what Derek has been saying, just like the push with Mariota, the push for Tannehill, bringing in a guy like Baker Mayfield was, and I said that you want him to duplicate, you want him to play inspired and basically give you the 2020 season. That's what you want. That's what you hope to accomplish.
Yeah, a bounce back.
Yeah, a bounce back, and it looked like the 2020 season. But you can't worry about the noise because the noise is going to happen. And you have to worry about putting the best roster together. Mm-hmm. You have to worry about giving yourself the best opportunity for success. And what gives you the best opportunity? Logan Woodside is the backup, whether he gets hurt or he's not producing, it's not working out. Or Baker Mayfield. I don't think there's anyone, as you said, Willie, no one has ever called in or texted this show ever and said, you know what? It's time for Logan Woodside. It's time.
But nobody ever will.
It's
nobody
time.
Nobody ever will.
Like, now is the time. It's time for
it's
Logan Woodside.
It's Woodside time.
It's Woodside time. Get the shirts ready.
Nobody
it's
ever
Woodside
will do
Woodside time. No one's done that. And so, yes, would it create a distraction if Baker Mayfield was here? Yes. But the distraction is already there because of the way the season ended last year. That distraction is already in play no matter what. And so you can't worry about that. You have to worry about putting yourself in the best position. Think about where this franchise would be if they didn't make the trade for Ryan Tannehill.
Willie.
Would they still have Mariota?
Probably not.
No?
No. I think they would have moved on from him.
To what? To who?
They would have drafted somebody.
Drafted somebody.
Yeah, they would have moved on from Mariota. They would have.
Well, if it continued along the path that it continued, then there's no question that that's what
they brought
happened.
In Ryan, so they didn't have to draft someone. They brought in
right.
someone
and, but
that was
none of us thought
proven.
None of us thought that Tannehill would hit the heights that he had. When he came in Denver when they were down and he gave them a little bit of a lifeline, and then the next week they had that. Big win, I think, if I remember correctly, it was against the Chargers. Goal line stand, remember, I think it was Jeffrey Simmons, kind of a coming out party. I never thought that they would go 30-13 with Ryan Tannehill as the starter. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that he would jump to a new level that he had never shown before. So it was a stroke of genius to do this. So... what about the other part? Like they got a great bargain with Tannehill in that they didn't have to give up much, and they also got him cheap. Remember, if I remember,
he ain't cheap.
The Dolphins were paying. The Dolphins were paying part of his salary when they brought him in, so it didn't cost them much in terms of assets or cap space.
It would be the same way with Baker.
That's my question. What are you willing to budget for him as the backup? Do you think he would be that cheap? I mean, I got to believe
yes.
there'd be a handful
yes.
of
teams. He's going to be a backup. Yes.
Yes, he will be a backup. There's no question about
so
it.
So what are you saying cheap, Willie?
How many
because
teams do you think
backup
will throw their hat in the ring and say, we want you to be our backup? If there's five teams, then you know, you're going to have to budget a little bit more than you do for Logan Woodside.
Well, backups right? are getting paid $6, $7
million. Five, six,
right.
seven
right.
million.
Okay, yeah. Five, six, 7 million. So what does that do? And this is where I need the capologist to consult with me. Like I got to go to my guy and say, all right, I'd like to bring in Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to cost X million. Let's just throw out there 6 million. And maybe there's some incentives that we throw in there. What does that do to the rest of my roster? Do we have to cut somebody? What about the extra space? You know what I mean? Like
I mean, they're fine.
We know they got tough choices to make. There,
I think
so
they would find the money. But my thing is...
And that's worth it to you.
Yes,
an extra $6 million as opposed to Woodside, what does he make? Does he even make a million?
Yeah, he makes a million. Makes over a million.
Okay, so $6 million to $1 million.
But we're not talking about funds. We're talking about whether, you know, we believe he is the guy or he isn't. You know, is he the guy to get us to the Super Bowl or is he or is he not the guy? Can he win us a Super Bowl or can he not? That's worth more than, you know, I'm paying a guy $6 million or I'm paying a guy $1 million. Throw that out the window. I would rather have and not need the guy than need him and then have to turn to Woodside and say, because if you don't have him,
how do
you're
know
not
what
turning
it is?
To Woodside.
Well, by the way, having Baker for a year also tells you behind the scenes, is this the guy maybe moving forward?
Exactly.
You would know firsthand.
You know his you attitude.
You know exactly you know, what he's
what
all
everything
about.
He's about.
I see that.
After
no
a year, if he's not, you cut bait and you move
on. Yeah, you move on.
But you tell you what, you're going to learn a whole lot about him.
Oh, you're going to learn.
For that year.
Not just him. You're going to learn about Ryan Tannehill, too. You're going to learn more about Ryan as well. Because, again, I believe competition either do one or two things to an individual. In sports, it either raises your elevation, it elevates your play,
or you shrink,
or it diminishes your play. One of the two. The one that argues and complains because you're bringing in someone to possibly replace them or compete with them. The ones that complain publicly and everything else, those are the ones typically that don't want competition. Because they know they will shrink when it comes to competition. I don't think Ryan's that way. So I would rather bring in Baker. Ryan flourishes. We get to the Super Bowl. A win-win for everybody.
I'm sold if you can make the budget work and I don't have to lose two or three guys I'd like to keep. How much did Jameis Winston make when he came to the Saints? I think that's
a
fairly comparable
bucks.
Situation. Right?
I thought was it was, wasn't
million?
It like a ridiculous, I think it was like $1 million.
It seemed like it was very low.
It was very low.
Part of the lure, I think, was Winston was like, okay, I'll prove myself. I've made some money. I got to go prove that I belong. I wonder if Mayfield would take something that low. I just feel like he'll have a little bit more competition in terms of teams that would, you know, want to take a look at him as the backup.
He,
I could be
if
wrong.
If he views it as a spot, he could possibly get another crack at being a starter again. I'd say
definitely.
The answer is yes.
If he's listening and reading the tea leaves and he look at the Titans, he will probably say, you know what, that's probably a place I can go and eventually become the starter.
That organization has done a whole lot of winning.
Exactly.
Mike Vrabel's coach of the year.
That could be a place that
market to live in.
I can possibly go there and be a starter eventually.
No state income.
You could do commercials from the stadium.
Commercials,
you know, the stadium.
From the new stadium in a few years.
Boy, yeah. That's when it really – see, they can promise him that. Like, when the new enclosed stadium gets here, whoo, commercials unlimited.
Because, Willie, whether they bring in a quarterback or draft a quarterback this year, there's going to be whispers if Ryan's not playing well.
Oh, it'll be more than whispers. That's right. What I'm saying. You're not getting away from that.
You're right. And I totally agree with you, Derek, that competition should bring out the best in a good competitor, right? If you're a good professional, then you're not bothered. In fact, it might even drive you to be better with competition behind you.
No doubt about it.
The budget will be the bigger, tough part.
Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock, but first a word about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company, proud sponsor of Nashville Predators, who are in Ottawa tonight. It's a big one. Nashville actually got some help from another team last night. Can you believe it? The Vancouver Canucks beat the Vegas Golden Knights. So Nashville has a chance to create just a little bit of breathing room if they can defeat the Senators tonight. Senators have won three straight, and they've scored 5, 5, and 6 in those three games. Meanwhile, Lee Company, whose sponsors are pregame radio coverage. Darren, we'll start that at 5 o'clock tonight. Pete and Howe will be on the call. Lee Company's got a lot of great services for you, including the home maintenance plan. Remember, year-round coverage of your house. Heating, cooling, plumbing, electric. All four of those systems, year-round checkups. Annual checkups on all four of those. Lee Company will call you and set it up. Convenient time for you. They come out, take a look at the operation, make sure everything's running efficiently and properly. If there are any issues, they'll make the repairs, and you get discounts on those repairs if you're part of that home maintenance plan. So give them a call at 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.